Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
And my mic was muted because I was yelling for my daughter. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I apologize for that. My name is Jim and I'm joined by my co-host Eddie. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Acavano. How are you?
I'm doing well. I thought you were. I didn't realize you were going to stop there.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. Usually, I go with the whole thing, and no, I was just
no
was
whole
just
bit,
in a good
huh?
mood. Yeah, no whole bit. Hello, Mr. Acavano.
Well, we got a fun show for you tonight. We're going to be joined by Rick Carpinello from Rangers Report. Everybody knows Carp. He's been on the show a couple of times, so we're excited to have him. He'll be here about an hour, I guess, maybe a little more. So we'll take phone calls before then. We'll talk about what's going on with the Rangers. There has been some news this week, and since a few things going on since the last time we were together. We got Dan Girardi signed. What else we got going on? The Rangers signed Jeremy Williams. I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me who he is. Brody DuPont is signed.
He's the point guard we need. And then Brody DuPont. I'm sorry to jump in. We signed him up. DuPont.
Yeah, that was today. Brody DuPont signed. And a few other things going on, and we'll get to your phone calls in just a minute. And the number to call is 646-478-4692. Eddie, why don't you talk to the people for just a second? I'll be right back.
All right. Well, you know, it's very unusual that I'm put, and I don't really like to speak in public or speak on the radio, so this is kind of be putting me on the spot. But I've kind of come up with a theory about the Rangers that I may expound on a little bit later. And I think my first thing is that about a couple months ago, Glenn Sather started comparing the Rangers. People are coming in my house. Is Glenn Sather ready to invade my house? Don't they know I'm doing shows here? I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, who is this? I'm sorry, I'm not answering. I don't know who you are. Anyway, my theory is this. A couple weeks ago, actually a couple months ago, Glenn Sather came about and started making, Ranger fans are going to have to be patient. We're going to have to be patient because we need, look at the Chicago Blackhawks. They are building a team that is young, and that's how you got to win is go with the youth. So I think they were trying to sell some goods, and now we see the Blackhawks are dismantling their team like nobody's business. And because of course, once these guys get to, you know, their contracts mature, and then they have the right to become UFAs and stuff like that. Frankly, with the cap, you can't keep these guys, you know. And it's kind of sad in a way because you'd like to see the team stay together. But that's the way of the NHL. So let's get it back to the Rangers now. The Rangers, I think, because of the captain. So I think he was trying to prepare us for a off-season of no moves or very little moves. And so far, that's been the case. Now, the second thing is, what I'm seeing is we're hearing all this about McDonough's going to make the team and Stepan's going to get a chance. And all this stuff, and Grachev, and, you know, and to me, it sounds like because we are such in a cap, type of like lockjaw cage type of thing where we have no wiggle room whatsoever, that we're going to bring in all these young guys who are making entry-level contracts or maybe a little bit more, and we're going to put them in not because they're ready, because nobody can tell me Ryan McDonagh is NHL ready. I don't care if you're just from the prospect park, if you're the head of central scouting. You cannot tell me a college player is ready for the NHL. Nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody can tell. Last year, everybody told us Matt Gilroy was ready for the NHL. Glenn Sather and his contingent thought he was so much they gave him over $1 million. And we saw where that ended up. Although I think Gilroy will have a better season. I mean, you know, people say, well, he couldn't have worse, but I can see him improving now that he has a whole season under his belt, or three quarters of a season under his belt. Since he rode the pine at the latter half of the season. But anyway,
I would argue that he could be worse.
No, I'm actually thinking he's going to be better.
No, but I'm not just saying
on that guy.
Oh no, me neither. I'm just saying people that say you know he can't be any worse, he could be worse. Look at number six.
Oh, in the Rangers. I mean, even the Ranger lexicon, of course, everybody can be worse. That is always a distinct possibility. But I think that, and just this in conclusion, now that I don't have to stall anymore, this actually was the thought that I was going to bring up during the show. Is that I think the Rangers may be bringing these guys up because they just need to fill holes cheaply. I mean, the whole offseason has been about, other than the Bougaard signing, is about the Sather's philosophy, which he's gone on record as saying as he wants Cadillacs at a Honda price. So I feel like he's just trying to get guys on the cheap. And what's going to happen is, A, either these guys' progress is going to be hindered because they're being forced into the NHL too soon. Okay. I mean, not every 19-year-old is Matt Duchene or Tyler Myers, guys who are high picks, or come right into the league. You saw Delzato last year. He probably could have used another year in the O. And even though he put up some good numbers, the Rangers are making like these guys are ready to play. All of a sudden, they're ready to play in the NHL. Like, Ryan McDonagh is just ready. I mean, anyway, so I think what's going to happen is by the time these guys are actually, when contracts start to come up, and say these guys for the, let's really go crazy, bizarre, or let's say these guys all are really turn out to be good players, which is not going to happen. But if it did, when are the Rangers going to sign them? By the time they're ready to make the playoffs with all these good guys, and I'm not talking about winning the cup. I'm just talking about making the playoffs and being good. They're not going to be able to sign these guys anyway. They're going to be in the Chicago situation, except without a Stanley Cup. So I think the Rangers are bringing up youth, not because they're in a youth movement, because if they were in a youth movement, Jim, they wouldn't have signed Vinny Trospel. They wouldn't have gotten Erik Christensen. They would, and everybody said, well, they need Vinny. No, Vinny is 37, whatever he is. You let him go. If you're going to go with a youth movement, you don't care about winning. And the Rangers still care about winning too much. And that's their problem throughout their history. They want to make the playoffs every year, and they don't want to suffer with the young guys. That's my take on the whole thing. I think main reason Rangers are saying youth is because it's cheap. I mean, that's my deal.
And it appeases the fans.
What?
And it appeases the fans.
Yeah,
it's what the fans want to hear. No, it's not a youth movement in the true sense of what you see from other teams. But it is what it is. all right, just
what happened? You get Somebody die in the family over there? What, you sound all depressed now?
No, I was trying to do four things at once, that's all. And switch. Wow. I'm checking out the switchboard, making sure the switchboard's working. Oh, and as Glenn Sather says...
Like trying to buy a Cadillac for a Honda price.
That's good.
Ah, there goes the switchboard again. Hold on. Jesus Christ.
But that is Block Talk
this
Radio.
This thing is unbelievable. All right, let's... it's always something. I don't know. All right, let's go to the phones.
All right, bring it on.
Newman, what's going on?
How are you, Jim? How are you, Eddie?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
It's a good day in the Newman household, let me tell you. It's a good day.
Okay. Well, because you're in a relationship.
Well, that too, and the house is all to myself. My parents are on a cruise.
Oh,
he's got
the
house all to himself, so he calls us.
The girlfriend had surgery today, by the way.
She all right?
She
had to get a 200-pound Ranger fan removed from her ass.
Hey, watch it. Watch it. Watch it.
I'm really tough on Newman and Zach. I know. I told you, you want to be part of this show, you want to email me and say, play this clip when I call in, and I want to be first, and blah, blah, blah. You got to take what comes with it.
Hey,
you know,
Jim,
I treat you just like I treat one of my brothers. Like,
Jim,
shit.
Jim, that comment you left on Facebook, she started cracking up.
Yeah, well, that's funny.
She started cracking up. I want to start off by saying my condolences to the Steinbrenner and the Yankee household right now, even though I'm a Met fan.
All right.
And a moment of silence for them, too, if you don't mind. All right, that's enough with that.
All right. What else you got?
Nothing. It's a sad day in sports. There's nothing going on in four major sports.
That's what this show is for.
I know. Dead air.
Yeah, I mean... Newman giving it back to you, Jimmy.
You want to hear dead air? You want to hear dead air? We'll talk to you next week, John. Robbie. Robbie. You're on Blue Shirt Band Radio. All right, Robbie, we got something special for you.
All right, what's going on?
Well, we went back.
This chat
back
room is unbelievable.
Went back and listened to last week's show, Robbie. You ready?
What?
We're going to go back. We're going to get into the time machine a little bit. We're going to go back to last week.
We're going to get you in the... Robbie, we're going to get you in the hot tub time machine. You ready?
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Stahl, I have a feeling that Stahl is not going to be on the team this year. I think that he's someone, I don't know why. Like you said, they don't know what they're doing with the cap space. They don't know how much is like the trade value is. They don't. Stahl is not going to be on the team there, and neither is Girardi. But I think that's really sad because I really like Stahl. He is really the top D-man in the...
Stahl is not going to be on this team, neither is Girardi. Any other bold predictions you want to make? Sun's not going to come out tomorrow. It's not going to be hot in Phoenix.
The Rangers are going to win a Stanley Cup in June of 2011.
Newman's girlfriend's not going to screen his calls. What else you got?
Well, one thing I want to point out with the youngsters, where you are with Stefan Grachev, is John Tortorella really the guy who you want behind the bench with all these guys coming up? With him, like, constantly switching up the lines and him bullying everyone and just, like, sitting at the guys who he doesn't like, that's going to screw up the whole youth with everyone. He's very impatient. And, you know, not only is this a safer problem, I think it's a Tortorella problem. I give him one more year, but he's just way too impatient, and he bullies everyone. Well, the player-wise, with youngsters, he has no patience whatsoever.
I would agree, and I also don't think he has much patience for. I don't think it's just the young players. I don't think he has a whole lot of patience for Russian players. You know, you're not saying anything we haven't said before.
But I'm getting a vibe. This is the two consecutive phone calls that Robbie has come down on Tortorella. And I think Robbie does not like John Tortorella. And you may have something there with the young players. It's hard to tell how he interacts with these guys on the ice in practice as far as the teaching aspect goes. But you're right. I think last year, first of all, let's all be in agreement that changing the lines every 10 seconds is not a way, an effective way to correct a problem of any sort in the NHL. It just doesn't work. And I agree with you there. He's, you know, he's got a temper, this guy. But, you know, he's won a Stanley Cup. And I know everybody can say, well, oh, he had these guys in place. It takes a lot to win a Stanley Cup. You got to come there with a plan and a so.
And he, I think that he does motivate the players. Well, like that's one of the benefits of having like a fiery coach, if you will. But he, I mean, calling out Garrick saying like he didn't, I forgot what he said, but just like that yeah, Garrick didn't try. So I'm like, that's absurd. He was the reason why they even made it
right.
Like that they were close to the playoffs. That's absurd with him. But I give him one more year. But just one more thing though with Steinbrenner. Let me tell you something. This is the fall of the Yankees. And you guys know I'm a Mets fan. This is the fall of the Yankees. There's
wrong.
No way. There's no
wrong.
Way. Hank and Hale are horrible. Look at
wrong.
The sons. The sons of these owners are bad. Look at Dolan. Look at Dolan. Look at Jeff Wilpon. This is going to be the fall of the Yankees. Quote me on
right.
this. This is going to be not. Go on, sir.
Robbie, Big Stein hasn't been running things for years, at least 3 years. At least three, since he stepped back and let the Suns run things. And I kind of sort of I'm a Met fan. I'm with you here. I like you know I like where you're going. I'm just disagreeing with you. I mean, you know, the Suns have been running things for a couple
starts?
Of years. The Suns have been running things a couple of years, and I seem to remember them winning another World Series last year.
Only one. No, don't worry. The Mets will get it back too. And the Mets are going to win the World Series, and the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup in the same year. Who you watch?
Oh Jesus, man, you're on acid.
We'll replay this next week.
Puff, puff, pass, Robbie. Puff, puff, pass. All right, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Take
I'll
care, brother.
Time, you too.
Take it easy.
All right.
Robbie's got the good shit. He's been over High C's house, I think.
Well, we got Inferno's in here, big Torts supporter.
Oh, yeah?
It's good to see. I like to see the both ends of the spectrum. Both ends of the argument. Inferno saying how he gave MDZ a good chance and
was
now he's not to mention the growth of Brandon Dubinsky. That one I think can be a little bit argued.
Was MDZ might have begged to differ when he was getting his ass reamed out on the ice in front of the entire arena.
Inferno, you forgot about that. When Tortorella was
just a little
yelling at him at the bench.
Mandark,
I haven't seen you.
Mandark calls him Uncle Torts.
And I got to tell you, John Newman's correct. Gilroy needs another chance. I still think this kid's got plenty of talent. It's just something, I don't know what it was, something got something went wrong, and he was out of gas by the halfway mark, and he should have started in the AHL, like a lot of experts said. And I do agree with that, but he just had such a great preseason. We were all jazzed. We thought he was going to do good.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
you know, it was optimism, and we had, you know, rookies coming in, guys that looked good in the preseason, and, you know, the new coach.
Inferno was going at it with me in the chat room after every word. Listen. How do you know about his upper body strength, Inferno? What, have you checked him out? Were you at the NHL Combine? Give it a break.
It's Leslie Treff.
It's Leslie Treff. Ridiculous. See, I'm telling you, these lunatics, they're out tonight. The lunatics are running the asylum. Now, Jimba, what about this Pavel Dimitra guy? They've mentioned that tonight. You know, is it true? Is it going to happen? I said it was going to happen. I mean, I don't want to be one of these guys like, I told you so, but I figured the Rangers would make a couple small moves, and he would be one of them because he fits the bill. He's cheap and he's old. He'll be the mini Prospel of last year.
I'm cheap and I'm old. How come they're not calling me?
Because you don't have good upper body strength, according
That's
to Inferno.
True. That's true. I don't.
You're a good
I don't
potato,
like
it, though.
I don't like a taste explosion in my mouth. Was that that was Sanguinetti that said that, wasn't it? It's like I like Doritos. They're a flavor explosion in my mouth.
Boyle.
And I have. Boyle? Oh, was it Boyle? Maybe it was Boyle. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even. Sanguinetti didn't even get a spot.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He just had intent to blow.
He has intent to blow. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, you know, and. We have to remind everybody, Rick Carpinello will be joining us in Saturday at 9 o'clock, 9:15, and we always have a good time with Rick. Now, so, I mean, what is your take? Now, you made this statement to me off the air that you said, you know, I pretty much had my fill of hockey. But, I mean, do you really, like, to me, once I'm like, I'm out, I say, you know, I'm not going to pay attention, and then something happens and I get right back into it, and what would you say, what would be your overall grade of the Rangers off-season thus far?
So far, I would, you know, getting Bugardenstein, I would give them a B. I would give them a B. It would be a B plus if they hadn't signed Bugardenstein, and it would be an A if they had Stahl wrapped up and we didn't have to worry about it. So, but I'll give them a B. I'll give them a B for keeping the guys they had to keep and getting Biron cheap, getting a backup backup goaltender, a veteran guy that'll be there all year. Yeah, I'm good with a B. I'll give them a B.
Yeah. I think everybody in the chat room is kind of around that, a B, a C plus, a C minus, what have you.
Anywhere from mediocre to decent, which is pretty much describes the last 10 years of Ranger hockey.
Yeah, but you know what? Last year's UFAs turned out to be nothing. Who do we get? Who was left after all that? Boyle? Morino
Gabbert.
Boyle?
And Gabbert.
And Gabbert.
That's it.
I mean, after that, everybody was gone.
At least so far this year, you know, most of what they've done has just been in house. You know, only Bugard and Biron are coming from the outside so far, right? Am I missing somebody? Am I forgetting some? You know, an NHL free agent. I'm not talking about like the Jeremy Williams. Oh well, Emiger, yeah, but he came via trade.
Huh.
And we didn't, you know what? We didn't even touch on that because I think it happened last Thursday, and then we had your show on Friday night. We kind of talked about it a little bit. We didn't even mention Aaron Voros.
Oh yes, Voros no moros.
Voros.
You scare the bambinos. You scare the Ranger bambinos. Yeah, I have to say, thank God he's gone. I did not take. Guy. I'm surprised they got a player back.
That's what I said. Everybody, you know, I saw people complaining, oh, this guy Emiger, he's played for four different teams. He's a seventh defenseman, blah, blah, blah. I said, I don't give a shit if they got a bowl of soup for Voros. I mean, the guy's
a bowl of soup.
I mean, what can you tell me about Aaron Voros? Okay, he gives his all. He's a good guy.
You're supposed to give your all.
You know, I saw that a few times on Twitter and on Blue Shirt Banner and here and there. Oh, he gave his all. He's a good guy. And my response to that was, my dad's a good guy. I don't want him playing on the Rangers either. I don't give a shit if he's a good guy.
I don't care if you're a good guy.
If that's a good guy, give me a few more pricks.
Yeah, exactly. Ranger fans, I mean, some of them, some of you guys out there get attached to these guys. I term them the mascots. They don't produce, but they do show signs of life, like other than the rest of the team. And all of a sudden, we are in love with them. I was going to get angry about something. I forgot what it was. But before I get angry, I'm actually previewing my anger, which doesn't make it seem too spontaneous. But the You know, the more and more now I may regret this, because usually if I go from hating a guy to liking him, I'm going to wind up eating my words because my initial feeling is always right. But I'm more and more thinking about this Biron signing. I think it's a shrewd move. This guy needs to he needs to come back, and really he's trying to win a number one spot in, on another team. So he has to play well as a backup for Henrik. He's got a relationship with his Benoit Allaire. He's in a relationship. I saw it on Facebook right next to John Newman. It's Martin Biron in a relationship with Benoit Allaire. And I think he's got a lot to prove here. I like the fact that this guy chirps. He is a guy who will yell at opponents and try to get under their skin, which I like. And I think fundamentally, if he can get back to where he was a couple years ago, he'd be a real solid backup for the Rangers. And the
where have I heard this before?
Oh.
Where have I heard all this before?
What? Who? You said this?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. When you said, oh, I got to disagree with you on Biron. This guy is done, Jimmy. He's done. And he wears
that.
Didn't
I just tell you I had a turnabout?
I know. It's just funny.
I mean, I know I heard it somewhere. I just didn't know it was on this show.
Hey, I got a. Here's a funny little bit of useless trivia for you. Do you remember when Aaron Voros came to the Rangers in 2008, 2009? He got off to that fast start.
No.
You don't remember that? He scored six goals his first month of the season.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Without looking, do you know how many goals, after he scored those six goals his first month as a Ranger, do you know how many goals he scored the entire rest of his career with the Rangers? Take a guess.
I'll say one. I remember him scoring one.
Oh, no, it was nine, but still. He scored six in his first scored six in his first like 15 games, and then his next 85 games he had another nine goals.
I can't even remember that.
I just remember him getting off with a fast start. You know, he had a couple of 2-goal games. I don't know how the hell that happened. I mean, it must have been like when we used to play street hockey. We had no goalie, so we just kind of put the garbage can in front of the goal. Had to be kind of situation.
That might be Marty Biron. The garbage can. I gotta tell you something else. You know, I do those stupid Ranger Crisis videos, right?
They're not and, stupid. You know, we love them.
All right. Well, you know, the lighthearted fare. I mean, that's not hard-hitting journalism. And this is a problem with the youth today. They think because in comedy, if you know, you can be the ugliest bastard, and you're allowed to make fun of other people. And I had the audacity to make fun of Marty Biron and say in one picture he looked like Chaka from Land of the Lost.
And he did.
Like it, he did, right?
He did.
So I get those litany of emails. How can you make fun of somebody looks? I mean, you're not the greatest looking guy in the world. And some dopey jerk off on HF boards, you look like the combination of the Pillsbury Doughboy and the guy from the monster from whatever that movie was, Total Recall. And I'm like, I mean, it's just like, you know, give it a break. I didn't mean, you know, I'm not. Why is everybody Marty Biron? Was that Marty Biron's son that was riding me? Why is everybody protective of Marty Biron?
And anybody who says you're not good looking didn't see the picture of you in the pool on Facebook.
Oh Jesus! Wow. They might be right in that one. And Jay the Dead, I thank you for the and LeBron Blows, the Russian rifleman. He's actually quoting me, who gave the Russian rifleman his nickname. The Russian rifleman's been shooting blanks in the AHL. But according to John Rosasco and his propaganda team over there, he's right on target. So anyway,
still their highest rated prospect at Hockey's Future.
Yeah, well, we love Hockey's Future. Except some of the posters over there. I'm going to punch in the face if I see them live. But anywho.
All right, let's take another phone call. 631-974, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? Let's try it again. 631-974, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Costa.
Oh, boy. What's up? What's up, Costa?
All right. Sana says, be patient. Like I was typing before. Where was this talk right after the lockout about patience?
After the lockout, they were trying to put, you know, they hadn't been to the playoffs in so many years. They were trying to get back to the playoffs. After the lockout, they came out. They were one of the best teams that regular season. They shocked all of us. You know, what are you gonna? I understand what you're saying, but you know, what can you do?
If they would have said that from the beginning, I think everybody would have said, okay, they're not going to win the cup this year or next year. You know, I mean, like I said, be honest. Just say we're rebuilding, and trust me, the fans will come to the Garden whether they're in first place or whether they're in 15th place. They're going to come.
I won't argue with you there.
So it's like, I mean, just say we're rebuilding and let the chips fall where they may.
Now, Costa, what are you giving the Rangers in this offseason?
I said solid C.
A C?
Solid
who's
C.
Who's the guy you're looking forward to seeing most in a Ranger uniform this year?
The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman?
Yeah, the Boogeyman. If that's Gavrik's boy, all right. Let's see what he can do. If that's Gavrik's boy,
Let's hope so.
And one last thing, George Steinbrenner dying. You would think Jesus Christ himself died.
Well. Look, you know, once you're dead, everybody loves you. You'll find that out.
Yeah, trust me, when I die, my suffering is over.
and so is ours, pal.
All right, I'm punching out. Laters.
Love you, Costa. Thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, bro.
The always cranky Costa.
Well, listen, he's got a lot. He's got stuff to say, and it's a little bit caustic sometimes, and we love it because that's what this show is about. It's about people calling in, giving their opinions, not like a homogenized Ranger Blue Shirt United, where everything is rosy. And I don't mean Roosevelt.
All right, I thought I got something I wanted to play here. I thought. I was going back through some of our old shows this week, and I found a couple of funny clips that I wanted to play for you guys. And we'll play one now, and then we'll see if we'll play maybe the other one in a little while, and we'll take phone calls in between before Carp gets here. This is from the second episode of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Last July. I think it was July 7th of 2009.
Guys, I'm gonna get a couple of these phone calls on.
Yeah, open it up.
And let's see what everybody's got to say. We're going to start with who's been holding the longest. And there we go. 631 area code. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. How's it going? It's the Mouth Live. How are you guys doing?
Oh, excellent. It's the Mouth. Ranger, yeah. For you guys that don't know, it's the Mouth. He's from RangerCrisis.com, and he got me in a boatload of trouble yesterday. We'll get into that in a minute. What's going on, Mouth? What's on your mind?
I gotta say, you got a great program. I'm listening in. You guys are informative. You're hitting all the bases, hitting all the right things. I love it. And I am a diehard supporter of Blue Shirt Banter, and this radio show is great.
Attaboy.
Okay, all right. Well, enough of the, you know what, let's get down to business. First of all, the Scott Gomez salary dump, that's the first thing. That is excellent news. You guys got to agree with that.
Yeah, that changed everything for me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Sather all of a sudden became this trade-savvy GM who suddenly isn't the one that gets fooled into taking on big contracts, but somehow gets Bob Gainey to take it and throws in their number one defensive prospect along with it.
So that's a fantastic thing, which I totally love. If we just can keep Sather away from the free agent market, then we're okay. He's good with the trades, but once the UFA shot he's come along, it's a total disaster. That's my opinion. Also, I thought that the Colton Orr, I feel bad. This guy bust his hump for the Rangers. Let's face it, this guy, he came a long way from the Bruins. He was really a bad skater when he was with the Bruins. He improved his skate. He improved his ability as a, under Rennie. I agree with you that his ice time was diminished under Tortorella. I think perhaps that the shortness of the Betts and the Schustrom, that line situation, Tortorella, may have been because the Rangers were pressing to really get into a playoff spot. But Tortorella historically does not play four lines, so I was sad to see Colton go. Brashear is a little long in the tooth. He's 10 years older than Orr. He's been banged up as well last year. I'm a little worried about that.
That was the first time I ever spoke to you, Eddie. That was the first time we'd ever talked.
God, do we sound stupid. I'm surprised we got a following. We got these lovely people following us, joining us every week. We love you. God love you. And stop calling. You know, this is another thing. Now the egg is kicking in. You people, now with this dead air. Dead air. There is no dead air. It's just stupid player you're listening to when you're jacked up telephone connection modem you got going that's got you refreshing. So stop. There's no dead air. Now. When I say now, then you know there's something coming.
Right.
But I've forgotten it. So anyway.
Costa, to answer your question, that night was pretty much when Eddie unofficially joined the show because each week his role kind of increased, and then in October we partnered up full time, so to speak, and that gets us to where we are today. And to answer the other question that someone asked, yes, I am inside this evening because it's too friggin' hot outside, so I'm sitting inside this evening. So anyway, let's. You want to take another call? We got one more call on hold.
Sure, let's go. Let's go with the flow. Let's hear what the people have to say.
All right, 516-754. Thank you for holding while we took our first trip down memory lane. Who's this?
It's Ross, guys. What's going on? Hello?
What's up? Hi. I'm sorry, it's Rock?
Yes, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Rock. How are you?
Very very good, nice trip down memory lane. It was very reminiscent. I don't think I was there for the one of the few inaugural shows you guys had, but I know I was there towards the tail end of the summer last year, so it was nice to hear that. I heard Costa's call earlier, and as a fellow Greek, I kind of have a little bit of his passion, but I'm not going to scream and yell. I think with the thing with Sather coming out of the lockout, I don't know if you guys agree with this, was I think they found it. I think Lundqvist, I don't think they had any idea Lundqvist was going to be as good as he was. I think he kind of fell in their laps. I think they got lucky. I think they were trying to kind of bridge the gap, between all their young guys. They made all those trades after the lockout, and I don't really think they knew what they had coming into that season, coming out of the lockout. I think they just tried to make Yager happy and comfortable, bringing in all his boys. They happened to gel at the beginning of the season. Nothing was expected from the Rangers, and I think a lot of teams took them lightly. And I think Lundqvist emerged as who he is today, and I think he's the main reason why they were as good as they were that first season. And I think they might have done better had the Olympics not happened that year. So I think Lundqvist kind of fell on their laps, and even Peter Prucha, I don't think they were expecting 30 goals out of him that year. And I don't think they expected Jaka to score 50 goals. I think all those things kind of came out of nowhere, and the team, you know, were what they were, I guess, at that point.
Yeah. You know,
what do you guys think?
Well, I think there's some good points there, and it was, I mean, Lundqvist, I think, being the biggest surprise. I mean, now I was looking at his numbers, and they're just incredible. Even last year's numbers,
yeah.
Who we actually, you know, it kind of got bypassed because, you know, he wasn't high in shutouts. What, he had 4 shutouts last year?
Yeah.
He still had 2.38. And, you know, and I know, how could the Rangers not win more games when you know that if you get 3 goals, you win the game?
Because it could be 3 goals.
I know. The Rangers are so I mean, I kind of like, you know, I love the Rangers and I love talking hockey, but my most hated part of the season is watching the games. They're boring. They're boring. Let's face it. They don't score. I got a new video coming out. It's either I'm like, okay, what else is on the TV? Honey, hand me the remote time after 2 periods. I mean, I love talking about the Rangers. I love watching old videos of the Rangers, but when the Ranger game is on, I'm like, I'm freaking bored. They got a score.
Imagine being at the game.
Yeah, that's the worst is when you're at the game.
Yeah.
Especially when you're at a game against the, like, I'm a lunatic. I go to that snowed out game that was only like 11,000 there against
Nashville.
And I'm watching Colin Wilson score, and me and about 11,000 other maniacs are sitting there watching the Blues like a bunch of losers.
Yeah, that was a really boring game.
I mean, how long is this guy going to be good enough to keep them in games? I mean,
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. That's the big thing with the Rangers, and you know, everyone's saying play the young guys, and I'm all for that. I kind of want to see what these guys have, and I want to see, you know how the Gordy Clark, the genius that he is, and you know the guys they're bringing up, and everyone seems to be really high on Stefan and Kreider and Gratiev and everyone else. And the thing with this team is they're never going to be bad enough to get a top 3 pick, because when you have a goaltender like Lundqvist, he's going to steal games for you. You saw Buffalo go to the Cup Finals with Hasek and really no other team. You could ride a hot goalie all the way to the Cup. I mean, it's possible for that to happen. You know, whether it'll happen with the Rangers, I sincerely doubt. But you have a stud goaltending. You have a stud goalie like Lundqvist.
A Ranger team could never do that. I mean, I'm sorry. They haven't been able to do it yet. They can't even make the playoffs. Last year was the first year they didn't make it to the playoffs with Lundqvist, which I didn't really realize. I looked back and said, wow. But I think they're so offensively anemic, they couldn't ride a goaltender because they would have to shut out every team. They don't score.
Lundqvist would have to do like what he did in the first round the year before in 09 against Washington and basically stand on his head and face 40-something shots a night, and that's basically the only way that team will win. The point I wanted to bring up was, you know, I know I missed the first 2 minutes of the show, and I'm not really sure if you talked about this, but the Emminger trade with Boros, I think was a fantastic move just for the sheer of just getting Boros off this team. What I was looking at, I don't know if you guys really analyzed the current players that are under contract. Where is their room for young guys to even play on this roster? Really, the only spot that's available right now is Jokinen's spot, which is maybe either first or second line center. They brought back the entire team from last year. Where are these young guys playing? All right, granted, if McDonough comes in, he'll definitely kick Redden out. I don't see Redden on this team. I would be shocked if he's on this team come opening night. They're talking about bringing up Stefan. They're talking about bringing up Gratia. They're talking about bringing up possibly, I don't think Kreider's going to make the team, but whatever. They're talking about bringing up all these young guys. Where are they playing on this roster? You're going to start playing guys? I mean, it is, your third or fourth lines are stuffed with mediocre. Yeah, Chris Drury's on your third line at this point. Are you really? I mean, are they looking to maybe wave Avery?
All right, well,
I don't really know what they're doing.
Okay, well,
I don't know what you guys think.
If I had to answer the question, all right. Well, we know Bugard is not going to play every game. All right,
true.
So okay, we know Brian Boyle is not. I mean, it's not like he's got a solidified shot on the roster. He could be Hartford bound any moment, as far as I'm concerned. He's all right, penalty killer, you know, okay. So there's another guy possibly, although he's a center, whatever he is, I don't know. I don't know if we could fill that spot. I'm trying to think of some other guys that are kind of on the borderline of, I mean, aren't they all on the borderline? who do you think?
My point is that the team is so bottom heavy with third and fourth line guys, and are so they have no top six forwards. I mean, with the exception of Gabbert,
right.
They don't have another top six forward. And you're paying. I mean, you still got Drury for two more years at that cap hit, and he's your third line center. And he's now 33 years old. I mean, what are you expecting out of him next year? You know, the only thing I was thinking, I brought this up last year around after the trading deadline. The only thing I can say is you got to hope maybe if the team bottoms out next year and doesn't make the playoffs, that a team like the Sabres or a team that doesn't want to spend a lot of money but, you know, has the cap space to absorb Drury's cap hit, and that he would go there, that he would waive his no-trade clause and get him off the books for next year, for the year after. Because that's really our only chance of getting rid of him. Because obviously he has that no movement clause, and you really can't get rid of him any other way. And I think that's the only way he's not on this team after this season. Because they owe him $8 million
yeah.
this year, so he's not going anywhere, even if the team wanted him. I mean, even if, you know, they're not getting rid of him, you know, one way or another. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what direction. This team's talking about adding young guys to the roster. I just don't see any holes. And they're saying, well, veterans aren't going to have a lock for a spot. All right, so you're going to waive Avery? You're going to waive Brandon Prust? You're going to waive Drury? I mean, you can't waive Drury. I mean, there's really no holes. And you're going to start playing rookies on your top two line now? I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And then say this talking about, and then now they're talking about bringing in Dimitra. You're bringing Dimitra now there's no room for any of these young guys to play.
Right.
And you've got Prostful, too. You brought another old guy. I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand. And then I don't know if you guys read the quotes Andrew Gross had on after he made the Emminger trade, the Boros-Emminger trade, that they said he's moving forward, and there's still moves that the team is looking to make. So they're still looking to tweak this roster one way or another, whether it's trading. You know, I think they're trying to trade Roosevelt, if you ask me. I think they're trying to move him. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah,
I don't know what you guys think.
I think they're looking to move some forwards too, and maybe you know some of the some names that might surprise you. That's what I think. You know, guys like it wouldn't surprise me to not see Ryan Callahan back next year, or Sean Avery. You know, I don't think they're etched in stone. I really don't.
Right.
I think all bets are off right now with this team.
Because, I mean, you really figure, I mean, Callahan and Dubinsky are, ideally, they're the same player. I mean, they both show flashes of
they're not top six.
Creativity. They're not top six forwards. I don't think they are. I mean, I like both of them as players. I think they're
so
second line mats. And, you know, the question is, who do you trade? I mean, who do you move? I mean, that's the only thing. I think going into next offseason with both of these guys being restricted free agents, I think you got to move one of them. Obviously, for the right player. But I think going into next offseason, because then what are these guys worth next year? Let's, for argument's sake, say Callahan and Dubinsky both come in next year like they did this year. 20 goals, 20 assists, 40 points. For argument's sake, what are those guys worth? You giving them $4 million a year?
I don't.
Giving both of them $4 million a year?
No.
I think you got to move one of them. I really think you got to move one of them.
And I think
I just,
what I don't know.
And they're arguing in the chat room as to Doobie and Cali as to who you keep. And I agree with Jay. You keep Dubinsky. And I agree with everybody who's saying that you keep Dubinsky over Callahan. And that's I like Ryan Callahan, but. but you keep Dubinsky, and Jay made the point that you always keep the center.
But Dubinsky hasn't even been playing center. He was on the wing the second half of the season last year. He's not even playing center anymore.
Yeah, but he's a true center.
I agree with that.
The thing is, first of all, and this is a wake-up call to you Ranger fans, wake up! All right, that's your first point. The second thing is, overvalue Ryan Callahan and Brandon Dubinsky to the 118th millionth power, if that's a number.
Because they're homegrown Rangers.
You remember when when Dubinsky was being shopped around last year? I think it was to Calgary in that dumbass summer,
It was for Danny Heatley. It was for Danny Heatley last offseason.
Danny Heatley, right? And they were like, we can't even get them. They were like, we can't even get a 13 goal score off of them. They think that. Dubinsky, I know he's young. Both these guys are young. But sometimes young guys reach their potential. Maybe this is as good as they're going to get. I hope not. I hope they get better. But I think around the league, when you got a Ryan Callahan, they know he's a good penalty killer. You know he hits. He had 19 goals last year. 19 goals. I mean, this is not... I think we overvalue them. So, it's tough. And, Gavrik is their only legitimate top six guy. I don't know where the goals are going to come from because they have to score more. And,
they're banking on a full season of Christensen and hoping that Christensen, and I think he will, and I like Eric Christensen. I think for the money they got him for, he played very well. My only fear now is he's not playing for a contract. Last season he was playing for a contract. I mean, they could stick him waive him. He can go bye-bye, I guess, anytime they really want to. They can waive him and hope that someone takes the money off their hands. But he's not playing for a contract. But I like what I saw from Christian. He has a great release. He's a great shot. And I think that was a nice signing as a number two center. Not to center the number
one
line.
All right, so if you had Eric Christensen, if Eric Christensen was on the Flyers, what line is he playing on?
Fifth line?
It always comes back because we're talking about mediocre players that, yes, they try and what have you. But now let me ask you this, and the chat room. I know everybody likes EC. We like him, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you rather see a younger guy in his place than him taking up a spot, a guy that's trying to regain some of his promise they had earlier? I mean,
I honestly wouldn't mind that if they had a true number one guy. If they had a Brad Richards, if they had a Joe Thornton, if they had a Patrick Marleau, a Mike Richards, if they had a true number one guy who could take the heat, could be the number one guy, you could afford to have a rookie as your second or your third line center. But to have two question marks as your top two centers, I think at least you have an idea of what Christensen can do. You have some inkling to what this guy can do. And I just think that they're just trying to bring back last year's team and pray that whatever magic this team supposedly had going into those last 10 games of the season, it could be rekindled. But remember, everybody's a year older. Drury's a year older. Prosper's a year older. Roosevelt's a year older. Those three guys alone were big factors on your roster last year towards the tail end of the season. And they all played pretty well. But they're all now a year older. Avery's a year older. Now, how often do you see these pests, these guys that like to chirp around, when they hit the age of 30, they kind of tail off a little bit. They're not kids, so to speak, anymore. So they don't like to mix it up as much. And I agree with you. I think I'm feeling, and I could be wrong, that prospect camp, they weren't as impressed with the prospects as they thought they would be. Because I don't see how else you would bring back all these guys already without even giving these guys a shot.
Yeah.
So, that's the only thing. Before I forget,
wanted to bring this other point. I've been arguing back and forth on Twitter with Dave from Blue Sea Blogs about Matt Gilroy. Now, I don't know. I don't know how everyone else feels about this. I feel in the right trade that he's expendable for a decent number one center, a number two center, a decent player, I'm obviously not saying give him away for a seventh-round pick. I think he's making a lot of money, and there's no guarantee that he's on a top six defenseman on this team come opening night. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, we were led to believe that they almost traded it. He was almost in the Jokinen deal, right?
Well, they wanted to trade him instead of Higgins. They wanted Gilroy in because Gilroy had the extra year on his deal, and Higgins' contract was coming off. So I really think they wanted to get almost a $2 million cap hit off the roster for this year. They really wanted Gilroy in that trade instead of Trace Higgins. So,
as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Gilroy, you don't give up on a guy with his speed and his hands after 1 year. Let's see what he can do in an 80-game season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I just talked to so many people. I mean, like, you know, so-called experts who saw him play in college, and said he just, it's so awesome. And you know, when last year, first of all, it was totally preposterous when they were comparing him to Brian Leetch. They should have, anybody who even said that, uttered that, should have the Ranger crest ripped right off of them if they wear a jersey or they got a tattoo, I'll take it off. I'll burn it off of them. But I think the guy has talent. I don't know what happened. And so I'll give him another year. You're right, though. I could see him going to the Bruins or being traded to the Bruins because they love him over there in Boston. He's got a lot of cred over there. So I could see something like that happening if it doesn't seem to work out, and maybe you could move him. I think you're getting a lot of hogwash from the Rangers about a youth movement that isn't going to come unless it's forced. It seems like they're forcing McDonough. That's the guy they want in. And, again, I'm suspect of that, too, because, you know, listen, the jump from college to the NHL, I mean, you know, it's a big jump. And then it seems they're not doing it prudently with these young guys. So maybe it's a good thing that they're screwing it up. I mean, maybe it's a good thing that they're not going, you know what, Erik Christensen, how many more games are we going to win with you in the lineup? All right, Prospel, how many more games are we going to win with you in the lineup? You're out. You know, all these guys out, let's bring in all the young guys. But, you know, you're right, though. You need that solid base of a first line. You need somebody, that line you can count on, and then you bring in the younger guys to develop. But I don't know where the goals are coming from. Because Vinny, I mean, in all likelihood, Vinny is not going to have the season he had last year.
Brought it up. Someone brought it up that it's like he has a good year or a bad year. It might have been Nick from Ranger Tribune. Someone brought it up that every other year he has a decent
Nick.
Year. Yeah.
He's the Howard Johnson of hockey.
Right. Well, if you go back to 2001-02, he was 55 points, 79 points, 54 points, 80 points, 55, 57, 14, because he was hurt, 45, and 58. But, you know, he hasn't had more than, you know, last year was his best year since 2005-06. I think if you get another 58 points out of Vinny Prospel next year, I think you'd have to be pretty happy.
Right. And if you really think about it, I mean, though Olli Jokinen was not a clutch player, he did put up points. I mean, he really was. I mean, you know, I'm not a fan of his by any stretch, but he was probably the third best forward on the team. And you didn't replace him.
Right.
So, I mean, already you're behind the eight ball as far as scoring already. Not that he came in and was lighting it up, but the team did play better down the stretch with him in the lineup. You know, and you didn't replace his offense either. I have a feeling you're gonna see either Demetra here, or you're gonna see another mediocre has been, you know, flash in the pan forward of some kind that's gonna take that second line center spot. I don't see the team going into the I don't see them bringing in Stefan to be the second line center next year. At least not initially. If he wins a job, that might be a different story. If he knocks out Boyle for the fourth center position, you know, he might do that. And now you're forgetting about Anisimov too. I don't know if they're looking to move him up to the second line. I'm really not sure, you know, where their thought process is with him too. He just needs to gain some weight because he just gets knocked off the puck too easily.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think uh, I think it East Timoff will be just fine. All right, listen, Rock, we're going to take some other calls before we get Carp on, all right? We'll talk to you next week. Thanks
I'll
for calling.
I'll talk to you later, brother. Later.
Thanks, bud. Bye. Eddie,
there you are.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Rock, you're right. I think Audie's going to have a big season. But they got to get people around him. And, you know, guys, and I've had people disagree with me on this. I believe if you get Grachev and Artie playing on the same line or together on the same team, I think Grachev can make the move and make it well. I think that, and everybody knows I'm a big Grachev fan. I just think down in Hartford, stuck with that bad team and that coach that's a little bit misdirected perhaps, and, not playing with a lot of Russian players, not playing with any Russian players down there from what I remember. May have played with one. But he needs that familiarity, and I think he's as good as the guys he plays with. So that's my thing on him.
I agree with you. All right, we got about 15 minutes before Carp joins us. We got two more calls on the switchboard. Let's take 917-292. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is John from DC Ranger down in D.C.
Hey, DC
hey,
Ranger,
John,
how you doing,
how
man?
Are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Good. Long time no hitter.
Yeah, honestly. No, well, we're talking about this whole scoring thing. This is why I don't think bringing on Demetrius is such a bad idea, so long as it's on a short-term contract. If the whole goal is just to score enough goals to get us past two goals at a time, which is basically what Henrik's stopping per night, that just seems to make a lot more sense than paying a lot of money for Covey or having this mediocre crap team.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, it does in a way, but I think a lot of Ranger fans, they automatically get panicked with, another old guy. But the Rangers really are an old team. I mean, they're one of the younger teams in the league, believe it or not. I mean, of course, you got some dead weight that's old, like Drury and stuff. But if you want the Rangers to make the playoffs, it depends where you are as a Ranger fan. If you want them to make the playoffs.
I don't care about them making the playoffs, to be honest with you. Because I think at the end of the day, we're not going to win the Cup unless we're either winning our division or getting in that fourth spot and getting home ice advantage for at least one round. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if the whole goal is to win the Stanley Cup, which it should be, then screw it. Then either we give up and we just say, all right, we're going to lose as many games as possible and just try to get high draft picks, or we're going to go in there and actually try to beat New Jersey, Pittsburgh, and get them on a regular basis and go into like kind of Tampa Bay Rays mode where, all right, we're in one of the best divisions in hockey. We got to compete with these guys.
Right. So you're looking for the Rangers to build, which I'm looking really to be an Eastern Conference force. That's what we all want. But it's you've got to aspire to make the playoffs, I think. I mean, you want to be in it. I said this last year. I was like, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, you know what? I want to be at the party. I want to be part of the hoopla. Because you can see what happens. I mean, you got a team like Philly. I mean, I hate to say it, because a lot of Ranger fans are like, well, we were a shootout away of going to the Cup because, look, the Flyers went to the Cup. Although I totally disagree with that because we wouldn't have been able to do what the Flyers did. But, you want to be in the playoffs. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Sure, but I guess for me the issue is it's not a matter of just tanking. It's a matter of, all right, if we are going to actually, if this youth movement is serious, which I don't think it is, but if the youth movement is serious, and we just want to say, all right, well, we're going to bring up a bunch of guys from Hartford, and we're not going to pay a whole lot of people a whole lot of money who are older than a certain age to come and play with us, that's fine, and then we'll get some draft picks, we'll make some trades, we'll do some things on the free agent market for guys like Vinny Prospo, who I think are not bad decisions, and get in a situation where at least we'll be competitive. I'm not talking about tanking. I'm just talking about being competitive. Fine, if we make the playoffs, great, but I would rather be in a position to be an Eastern Conference powerhouse on a regular basis and have a year where, because I hate years like this, we barely don't make the playoffs, and then we're in a terrible position because we just don't have high draft picks. We're basically just a mediocre team, and we don't get to advance at all. We're just in the same position we were in last year.
Well, let me ask you this. Had the Rangers chosen Cam Fowler, would you have felt better?
Maybe I might have felt a little bit better. See, I also have no faith in Glenn Sather being able to pick anything below 10. But I guess that'll change once he goes. Whenever he dies or just leaves the earth, I'm saying. Whenever he gets the hell out of there.
All right.
Well, Gordy Clark, as you know, does the picking. And we are disciples of Gordy right now. In a week or two, we may not be. And why Rock brought this up, and he wanted to talk about it. What do you guys think, and what do you think of Zhereb going to the Flyers? I mean, me and Jim have talked about this. That guy should fire his agent immediately. I mean, he could have got more from the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, he should have. We should have picked him up, and B, he's just a moron. He must have had a bad experience here. That's the only thing that I can think of. He must have just had a bad experience in New York, and just doesn't want to come back to New York or something like that, or maybe manage.
I think it's Tortorella. He does.
Yeah,
Tortorella.
I was just gonna say. I don't think he wanted to play for Tortorella again.
Yeah, that's the only reason it can be because the Flyers just seem to be picking up everybody of ours who's player. They just wait around and say, oh, who are the Rangers getting rid of this year? Oh, okay, we're going to get these guys now. Oh, Sheridan's on the market. Great. Okay, get him. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Perhaps Patrick Rismiller will find a home soon.
Yes. There's hope for him. All right, DC, we're going to take one more call before we get to Carp, so thanks for calling in. We'll hope we hear from you soon.
Thanks.
Yeah, DC, keep it real in the field, brother.
Thank you. All right, 612, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
How you doing, guys? It's Chandler.
Hey, Chandler,
hey,
how
Chandler.
You doing?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Hey,
good, what's going on?
All right, I just got in, and I caught sort of the last of one of the guys that was talking about, you know, getting rid of either Callahan or Dubinsky, and, you know, does the name Mark Savard ring a bell with anybody here? You know, can we let our young players get a shot to actually grow into their skill sets? And I understand you seem to think they might have reached their potential, but, you know, we keep giving away young guys. How's Fedor Tootin looking right about now? How'd he be looking in a Ranger uniform right about now? You know, if we can get a coach who will actually put guys in positions to be successful, not as guys that are not goal scorers to be goal scorers, not as defensemen that are not offensive defensemen to be offensive defensemen, but actually let them play to their skill set, to their strengths, we might actually be a better team. You know, I mean, you know, we have gotten outside of last season from Drury, honestly, about what he gave Colorado and Buffalo. If you look at his career stats, the most points he ever had was 67. Okay? The 3 years he's been with us, he had 58, 56, and 32. The years with Buffalo, the highest he ever had was a 67. The lowest was a 53. So we've gotten about what he was giving everybody else. But because we gave him a huge contract, we said, oh, he should be a 50-goal scorer. He's never been a big goal scorer. He's never going to be a big goal scorer. So if we stop asking players to do things they're not capable of doing, they might actually play well. You know, let these young guys play. Let them play. Callahan and Dubinsky are good, solid forwards. And, yes, we need goal scoring. But if we make the playoffs, we're not going to win. We're not going anywhere in the playoffs. So why don't we take a page out of Colorado's book, or Chicago's for that matter, and let the young guys develop and take the lumps for a year or two before we start, you know, screaming about let's trade everybody.
Well, I think I agree with you, Chandler. I really do. I mean, I'm not saying trade the guys. I think what I'm saying is that I guess you didn't hear what I said earlier to that was that I think that, you know, a player can reach a potential at 24, 25. And listen, these guys are good players. They're hardworking players. I wish Dubinsky was a little more consistent, but other than that, they're good players. There's no doubt about it, and I think you're right. If we let these young guys mature and play in a Ranger uniform and mature rather than watch it in another uniform, but, you know, you cited Savard. Yes, Savard was a guy they let get away, but there are a lot of guys that we got rid of that, you know, like the Peter Prukas and the Laura Korpikowski, Laurie Korpikowski, those guys who really were not, you know, they never, you know, they still have a while to go in their career, but they weren't superstars. But I hear what you're saying. I agree with you.
But look at the teams they went to, and they played they played big roles on teams that made the playoffs. For all the crap Manny Malhotra took here, he was a significant part of San Jose making the playoffs. You know, Pruka and Paul Pekarski were significant parts of Phoenix making the playoffs. Yet, no, are they superstars? Are they ever going to be, you know, on a cover one of the NHL games? No, they're not. But hey, they contributed to a team making the playoffs, and they weren't given that chance here. We're asking, we are, but it's like the coaches we have keep seeing these guys. Well, okay, we brought you up. Now score 50 goals, get 100,000 assists, and have a shutout every game. And that's not going to happen. I mean, Gilroy, good God, Tortorella buried this kid. He came straight out of college. What did he expect to happen with Gilroy? He wasn't going to make a mistake? I mean,
right.
I don't know if it's Tortorella that's running this with I want veteran players, or if it's Sather, or if it's the both of them. But if they're not going to play the kids, stop lying to me and telling me you're going to play kids and just go out and get a bunch of old guys like you did before. You know, go get a bunch of John McClain's and Bobby Holik's. You know, we can go back to those days.
I tell you, that Bobby Holik deal, that's in the top three. I know there was no salary cap then, but they gave him $10 million.
Oh, my God. That was hard.
Come on. The guy is a defensive center.
Yeah, and then they kept saying, he's not scoring. The man has never scored in his life. Why would he score now? Well, we
it's
gave
like
him
Gomez, too. They gave it to Gomez, too.
Another guy, not a scorer. And we gave him a lot of money and said score goals.
And then you look at his stats, and his stats in New York were pretty good compared to the rest of the season. But
right.
People like me who didn't look at it at the time, and I copped to it. I was one of those guys like, this guy stinks. But then I looked at the stats. I'm going, this guy's doing what he was supposed to do. But again, us fans, you know, we see the big money, we expect goals.
Well, and that's because the organization is putting these guys, they're bringing them in, saying this is the guy that's going to put us over the top. Instead of looking at the player, Gomez is a complimentary piece. Drury's a complimentary piece. These are not frontline guys. They're secondary guys who made a name by being secondary guys coming up big in the playoffs. But they were not star players. But we paid them like stars. And when they didn't perform, we said, oh, got to get rid of him. Let's go get another secondary guy, and hopefully he can be a star. And it's not going to work. We got to let these kids grow. And I like, you know, your idea of Grachev and Anisimov. Put them on the line, man. Give them 30 games. Let's see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? We get a better draft pick?
Exactly. And you know, I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir, as they say here. We could be just as bad with young guys as with the guys we have now.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, Chandler. How's the weather over there? What are you, in Minnesota?
Yeah, oh my, it's tornadoes and it's crazy. It's like tornadoes in the hail 1 minute and then it's raining and it's ridiculous out here. I'll tell you, it's ridiculous.
All right.
All right, well, thanks, Chandler. Take
care.
All right. All right, and he just popped up on the switchboard. So without further ado, let's welcome back to the program Rick Carpinello from Rangers Report. Rick, Jim, and Eddie, good evening. Welcome back. Nice to have you back with us.
Good evening, fellas. Good to be back.
Yeah, Jim, you have that intro with our special new Rick Carp, the great Rick Carpinello intro.
Here we go.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
You guys are the best. You guys are absolutely bad. I'll come back every night if you do that.
we got plenty more for you. So.
Oh, yeah, we came prepared today.
That's awesome.
They call him the blog father, the father of Ranger blogs. And we're at Ranger Report. Rick, let's get right into it. What is your assessment so far of what's gone on in the off season for the Rangers?
Well, I think they, and I agree with the direction they've gone, by the way, to a degree. I think, you know, the course was set this year where they finally started to bring in some young kids, and they finally had some prospects in the system. They finally had prospects that are pretty well recognized by scouts around the league as top prospects. And I think the direction that they need to take now is to build a core that will grow together. And I'm not saying that any of these kids is going to be the next Sidney Crosby, but they need to build a core that's going to be together for a while, and they need to get rid of some of these albatross contracts, which they can't do right now. And then once they do that, if these kids turn out to be okay, and then you've got some money to spend in 2 or 3 years, then you fill around them with free agents. And I think this is absolutely the right way to go. I fully endorse it. Not that my endorsement means 2 cents.
Well, it does carry some weight around these provinces and internet radio land. It's funny, and I do agree, but don't you think they're, I don't know. You know, I sometimes wonder to myself, is Glenn Sather really involved in the goings-ons? Because you really hear him in these press conferences, now that I'm kind of privy to the questions that are asked about to him, he gets like really, answers that you would expect from a GM from 1992. I mean, concerning the Bougard. He's talking about Bougard clearing the crease and making sure that Sather that Lundqvist doesn't get snowed as much. I mean, is that really realistic?
Right.
I mean,
of course not. But I mean, Bougard, he's not going to. You know, first of all, if Carcillo wants to do something to Lundqvist or Gavrik, he's not going to fight Bougard. I mean,
right.
You know, these guys know that in today's NHL, if you don't want to fight a guy, you don't have to fight him, and there's nothing they can do about it except get suspended. But, you know, if Bougard wants to go fight Carcillo and he doesn't want to fight, Bougard's going to get suspended. But that's not today's NHL. And going back to Sather, he's not good on those. He's not really good on those conference calls. He's not a great quote. I don't think he ever has been a great quote.
He's a great quote for us. We love his quotes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of what, we want to continue the entertainment of one Rick Carpinello.
Uh-oh.
I think, Jim, we've got to play him the infamous quote about Wade Redden.
Okay.
Do you have that one queued up?
The Red, sure.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, real quick before I play this, we want to welcome all of Rick's boneheads that have come tonight.
Oh, yeah.
To join us. Yeah, we love the boneheads. So
we love the boneheads.
And we hope you'll come
those
back.
Guys, I'll talk more about the boneheads after this.
Okay, here we go.
This is Kevin Greenstein from the New York Sun. Glenn, just wanted to get your sense on Wade Redden, what he's going to add to the Rangers' blue line core, and what you're thinking moving forward with regard to the defense.
Well, he's an experienced defenseman. He's been an all-star twice in the league. He's in our opinion, the best first passer in the game today. He moves the puck up exceptionally. He's somebody that we had targeted immediately. He was our number one guy in defense, as well as Roosevelt. We wanted to get them both signed, and we did. And we're quite happy that we've got them. And we think that it's going to help move the puck to the forwards as well as anybody in the league today.
Now, Rick, were you on that conference call? Do you remember him saying that?
I don't believe I was. I think Sam Weinman was still doing the blog back at that point.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I was, but that's wow. But I mean, the thing I do know about that, I wasn't around every day, but the thing I do know about that is every other team in the NHL thought just the opposite. That he was on the downside, that he was trending downward, that he was once a pretty good player, and only pretty good. He was, maybe he made all-star teams, but he was never a great player. The thing about moving the puck, a lot of casual fans don't get that, and Redden does move the puck fairly well. He doesn't move it well enough to get $6.5 million a year, or $3.5 million a year. He moves it relatively well, but he doesn't do anything else. He does nothing else for that team. He doesn't play the power play. He's not good defensively. He doesn't help the young kids along. You know, so he moves the puck once in a while. $6.5 million a year. Just is mind-boggling.
I just think he's a detriment to the team as far as sans the salary. I mean, I just think he's not a good player. I mean, you know, there's better players out there.
But I honestly don't believe that he will be there at the end of training camp. I think he's going to be in Hartford at the end of training camp. And they're going to just eat the salary, and he comes right off the cap. I don't think they can live with it anymore with him on the salary cap. I don't think that Tortorella wants him there anymore. I don't think he's proven to be a competitor. I don't think he likes Tortorella. You know, all those things combined, I think, is going to get him a ticket to Hartford. And, you know, then he comes right off the salary cap. I think that move will be made, but they can't make it till September.
Right. Now, I don't want to get, you know, but as a new media reporter, I must ask the tough questions of you, and you had, of course, I can't ask anything serious, but this is semi-serious. Now, you had a little bit of a run-in with Torts.
Yeah.
And what happened, and maybe can you just give us a little bit of what you talked about behind closed doors for the fans out there who may have missed it?
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. I had written in the blog a couple of times that, you know, they were so desperate for points late in the season that when they got to these overtime games, maybe they should think about going with three forwards and one defenseman, or four forwards, and just trying to get that point before it gets to a shootout, which I think is a crapshoot. And I had written that a few times, and he didn't like it. And then there was the game in New Jersey, and I don't even remember the outcome of that game. I asked him again. It was the first time I actually had the chance to ask him, have you ever considered using three forwards during overtime, you know, in the 4-on-4? And he'd done it in Tampa. And he just, you know, he unloaded on me that I don't think things through. I've been writing stuff like that, and it doesn't make any sense. And, I don't, you know, you got to think before you write things, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, he didn't call me out or embarrass me in any way, but so that was it, and then I just I waited for him when the press conference was over and the team was getting on the bus, and we talked it out, and he said, you know, we have a goalie who can win us shootouts, and that's one of our great assets, and so we're not afraid to go to a shootout. And, you know, I mean, it makes sense to a degree. It didn't work the last day in Philadelphia, but it makes sense to a degree. I just think that, you know, if you're going to play safe as death, if you're going to play a go-for-it style, then when you get into overtime, well, go for it. Go for the point. You know, you have nothing to lose. You got your point. Go for the second point.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Our relationship, I think, you know, compared to some of the other guys on the beat, my relationship with Tortorella is pretty good compared to some of the guys. It's oil and water, man. It's really vicious. And you know who I'm talking about, mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was the gist of that. That was really the only time we've had it out. And I've known him since, you know, he was a coach under Muckler, in the wonderful Muckler regime.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Worked
that
out so
great.
Well. But Muckler hates me, by the way. Absolutely hates me.
Well,
did I ever tell you the story? Did I tell you the story about when Andrew Gross replaced me on the beat in whatever?
No, I don't think you have. That'd be funny. Sure.
2002, I think. 2002, 2003, whenever I left the beat, and Andrew Gross took over. And, you know, Andrew, he runs a great blog for Bergen Record.
Oh, yeah. He's
and,
been on a couple of times with us.
Yeah, good guy.
He's great.
So he worked at my paper, and he replaced me on the beat. So they went up to Ottawa, and Muckler was the GM there at the time. So Andrew goes up to Muckler, and he says, hey, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Andrew Gross from the Journal News, and I replaced Rick Carpinello on the Rangers beat. And he goes, would he die? So Andrew says, no, he got promoted. So Muckler says, oh, that's too bad, and he walked away.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a real sweetheart. He also has some choice names for me that he calls me every time he talks to the Canadian media. He refers to me as blank, that blank Carpinello, and it's really not a nice word.
What a beautiful human being.
Yeah,
what an What a beautiful spirit he had.
He was a fine, fine coach when he was here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Rick, it's not really nice that you piss off a coach who had such a winning history with the Rangers.
I think our clincher was when he tried Leach it forward that time, and they lost the game, and they got shut out in Florida. One of the great moves in Rangers coaching history. You guys remember that one?
They had the
checkmates line, and they were going pretty good. So they're playing Florida in Florida against Bore, and he decided he's going to break up the check line and put Leach on whenever Bore's on the ice. They're going to put Leach on the ice. So they were taking Halavach off the ice, who was, you know, a pretty good defensive forward. Every single time Bore got on the ice, they broke up their number one line. They didn't practice it. They didn't practice this. They just decided to do it before the game. So they do this. They have one bad shift. Bore scores the goal. And because the checkmates are broken up, and that's the only line that they had that could score at the time, they get shut out. They lose 1-0. So the guy comes on. He says, it worked great. He says, if somebody asked him how it worked, he said, I thought it worked great. No, they lost 1-0. And Bore scored the goal. So a week later, the Panthers come to the Garden. Now, here's the perfect chance to do it because you can practice it.
You can match lines.
You get the last match. And they don't even do it the second time. That's how great it worked. He thought he didn't even do it the second time. And he's hated me ever since that thing. I said he was trying to get shut out. And he did.
Wow. See, I think the lesson learned here is don't provoke Rick Carpinello. he will get you. Yeah.
But you know what? In 30-something years, he's really the only guy who I didn't get along with. I mean, so I have a pretty good record. I mean, I get along with the Keenans and, pretty much every nut job that's come through here.
Rick, well, since you managed that, since you mentioned that, we actually had somebody mention in the chat room, since you're telling stories, they wonder if you have any good stories from the, as they put it, glorious Trottier regime.
Oh, God. I remember when Trottier got suspended? He was only there for, 30-something games or 40-something games? He got suspended because he put Oluwa on the ice at the end of a game, and they had that a brawl. I remember him in a game in Detroit. He came out. They got killed in Detroit, as usual. And he came out to answer questions after the game, and he couldn't handle the spotlight on the TV camera. So he was, ducking, covering his eyes with his hand, and he had a trench coat on in a press conference. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? And I always thought he was a little off, but the fact that he got the job because of his handwriting was another proud, proud moment.
I was just going to say, he writes a great letter, though.
Yeah, he sure does.
Handwritten resume.
Penmanship. Better penmanship than Keenan. Oh, my God. It goes on, doesn't it? It goes on with this franchise.
It really is. You have to laugh or you'd cry. I mean, you really would be bogged down in the misery. I was talking to some Maple Leaf fans during the season, and they're going through a dry spell up there.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to tell them, all this stuff, and we were just, they're laughing at their, ridiculousness, and we're laughing at ours, and... However, I think they're headed in the right direction. We're still headed for more misery.
Yeah, I don't know what they are either. But, they've won as many cups as the Rangers since 1967. So they won 1967, right?
Yep, that was it.
The Rangers won one since 1940. So the Rangers the Rangers' drought now is, 16 years? It's the longest in the league again.
Huh. So people want to know, I'm getting the questions in the chat room are flying. People want to know, what do you think about the Marty Biron pickup? And we have a regular in here. His name is Frosty. He's a big Bob Froese fan. He wants to know, do you think he's better than Jan Denis? And I'm like, Jan Denis? Where did he come up with it? Look, are you with the Marty Biron pickup?
Well, Jan Denis, first of all, played pretty well with the Devils, but then again, we could probably play with the Devils and do pretty well. I thought it was a good pickup, but, it was relatively cheap, $850 a year, I think it is. And I was a little surprised that they made the move so quickly. There's so many guys available. and they just jumped at noon on July 1st and signed Barron. But I think it's a fine move. You know, he'll play 12 to 15 games, maybe a few more than that. He's a guy who, you know, and Sather made a good point. If Lundqvist does get hurt, you want a guy who can play for a couple of weeks, and Barron can. So I thought it was a good pickup. Their goalie coach knows him really well. They work well together. So it's a good one. And this guy's coming in with no ideas of being a starter. This guy knows what his role is going to be. Certainly a fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that move. He's certainly an upgrade over what they had.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Alex Auld. He's big, he's bald, he's Alex Auld. The way I look at it, I think it's a good move. Originally, a little bit of that Islander taint, you know, how I just am too crazy about my anti-Islander stuff. But then when I looked at it and I settled down and I took my meds, I said, this is a good deal. It's cheap. Yeah. The guy can fill in for, a period of time if Henrik is injured, which wound up now. Henrik said he had an injury problem down the stretch with his knee.
Yeah.
And are we ever going to see Henrik Lundqvist play 65 games as a Ranger? Is that ever going to happen?
I think this year it does happen. I think, you know, that this is now the time to do it, especially with the direction that they're going now, you know, where they're not saying we have to win this year for the first time in 70 years. They're not saying, oh, we have to win the Stanley Cup this year. They're going in a direction where, you know, they lived with not making it this year. They'll live with it if they don't make it next year. They want to make it, of course, but if they don't, they'll live with it. And so they shouldn't burn him into the ground to make the playoffs, you know, at all costs. And they should give him time off beginning of the season, middle of the season, so that down the stretch, if they need him to play 9 out of 10, he can play 9 out of 10. But you can't have this guy burning out in March, you know. And that's happened how many years in a row? Where, you know, he's exhausted. He was exhausted after the Olympics. He was exhausted, you know. And this year the Olympics were short for him, fortunately. But he can't, you know. I think this is the year that he'll play whatever, 65, 67 games.
Now, Rick, what did you think of the Bougard signing?
Well, I thought it was, you know, again, that's not a bad move. He's not going to kill them. He's not a good player. He's a very poor player. But he's a big animal, as you guys know. But I thought it was funny that, you know, last year they let Colton Orr go because they wanted to get a guy who could play and who could get in on the forecheck and who could be a factor. And they get Brashear, who it turned out couldn't play, couldn't get in on the forecheck, didn't want to fight, and was hurt all the time. So they correct that by getting Jody Shelley, who could play, who could get on the forecheck, who was a good guy in the locker room, who was a factor in the games. And they let him go, and they signed Bougard for way more money than they could have had Orr. So, you know, I thought the whole cycle was ridiculous.
Right.
But that said, you know, Bougard is exactly what he is, as advertised, and he's going to play 4 minutes a night if he's lucky.
He's a carnival attraction. That's all he is.
He absolutely
is. That is all he is.
He absolutely all is. Right. He can't play at all.
I promise.
We got another question from the chat room. Get your thoughts on Erik Christensen.
I'm not real big on him. I guess they got pretty cheap. If he has a good year, then it's a bonus. He's not a number one center, but he's their number one center. He's probably not a number two center, but he's their number one center. And, decent player, decent hands, never been a regular NHL player in his whole life. And maybe that changes. Maybe he got a taste of some success with Gaborik last year, and Tortorella liked him, and maybe that changes. Maybe he becomes a reasonable NHL offensive player. But I'm not counting on him even being a legitimate second line NHLer at this point.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. The Rangers, you know, they're talking about they've got all these forwards, and they talk about wanting to get some of the younger players involved, but We just don't see where there's a whole lot of roster spots open on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really think are they serious about really giving these young guys a chance? You know, I guess Stepan and Stepan and McDonough, guys like that, or is it just more of the same?
No, well, I think McDonough, you know, they really hope steps up in training camp and makes the team. You know, I think he's going to have every chance to do so, especially once they get rid of Redden, because then they'll have, whatever, six or seven guys on defense. They hope that one or two more kids come up and make it on up front. And I don't think they're expecting all of them to be in the NHL on opening night, but I think they'd like to see two of them do what Anisimov did last year, and that is, you know, come up, play your minutes, you know, have an up and down year, get used to it, get, you know, the peaks and valleys of a rookie in the NHL, and go through the hard times and get that out of get that rookie year out of the system. And I think it's unrealistic to expect that two or three or that three of those kids are going to make the team and be regular players. But if one or two can make the jump, then that's great. I think that's another positive.
That's another
one
two.
Or two. Yeah, if
right.
two more forwards and McDonough make the team this year, how great is that going into the following year? You know,
yeah.
then you got one or two. Then you had one or two more the following year. You know, then you're really making some progress. And let's face it, these drafts in history, you don't see five, six of the kids you pick make it to the NHL. It just doesn't happen. That's a total mirage. You know, it happens once every 10 years maybe. So, you know, the kids are prospects, but until they actually do it and make the team and then become NHL regulars, they're just prospects. And people sometimes expect too much because you know the names and they're good in juniors or they're good in the minors. But, you know, let's be realistic. If you can put two kids on your team every year, you're doing something right.
Yeah. Now you mentioned Anisimov. What do you see for him this year? Where do you think he's going to fit in?
Yeah, I think he moves up this year. I think, you know, he moves up to regular second or third line duty, and hopefully second, because I don't really see where they have a better offensive center than him, for a second line position, unless Prosper goes back to center and Christensen goes down. But I think. You know, right off the bat, they'd love to see Anisimov make the jump to second line center. And, I'm not a big line combination guy, so I can't even tell you who he'd play with, but maybe he could play with Callahan and Drury, or maybe he could play with, you know, whoever's not on the first line, whoever the two best players not on the first line are. And the first line, by first line, I mean Gabrick and two other second line players who happen to be on the first line.
Right. Well, Eddie's dream scenario, Grachev and Anisimov are playing together.
Yeah, it's possible, sure. I think Grachev's the guy they really hope will make the jump. But I don't think he didn't.
Rick, they make – and I don't want to get back to bashing their media and the whole thing, but,
yeah.
I mean, everybody knows that follows the Rangers, that Grachev – and I'm his biggest proponent. He didn't have a good season in the AHL
right.
last year. He
right.
didn't even make the AHL rookie team.
Right.
And then you read on the Ranger website, he's right on target. For what? You know,
wasn't that his first year professional?
Right.
And how many kids do better than that?
Right. And
yeah.
he's coming from Russia.
Yeah.
He played on a team that had injury problems and trouble the whole season. It's a whole adaptation thing.
Exactly.
You know, and so I kind of throw that out. But the thing with me is, and maybe give me a take on this. I think the Rangers are not bringing up these young guys. They plugged in Delzato and Gilroy last year. And Anisimov was done the right way. Like you said, he spent a couple of years in the minors, and then he moved on. And the natural progression. I think that because they are such in a cap stranglehold, that they have to bring in these young guys maybe a little bit too early because they are cheap right at this moment. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, again, they'd like to, but, you know, what good does it do to bring Grachev up here and have him play on the fourth line? You know, to have him play 6 to 8 minutes a night, have him play with, you know, Stonehands, Bugard, and whoever, you know, Brandon Prust. I mean, what good does it do those kids' development? They're much better off staying in Hartford and playing 18 minutes a night and getting playing with offensive players and playing in key times of the game and having the team rely on them and really seeing what they're made out of and getting their long season under them than coming up here and not playing. It doesn't make any sense. If they can't make the jump, if they don't deserve to make the jump, then they shouldn't be forced or rushed in any way. And I think that's the way to do it. I think that's the Gordy Clark way. That's the Jim Schoenfeld way. And I think Glenn Sather is buying into that now.
It only took him 10 years.
I'm sorry?
It only took him 10 years.
He's a slow learner.
Yeah. He's actually 20 since 1990, right? Since he's had any success.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, my
that's
God.
True, right? Do you have another Seinfeld clip we can play for the great Rick Carpinello?
Sure.
I love that George Costanza the phone call thing. Oh, my God.
Ballpark food doesn't count as real food.
What was that?
That was a short
ballpark
one.
Ballpark food doesn't count as real food.
How about this one? This is a classic.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. Woody Allen was crying. Woody Allen was crying.
I love when Kramer says he's going to go to L.A. because he got the acting bug from being in that Woody Allen movie, and he looks at him and he says, "These pretzels are making me thirsty."
That was one line. You got fired. That's great. That's good stuff.
Now, go ahead, Rick.
You never get tired of that stuff. I never get tired of that.
No.
Oh, no. Nobody does. No. I think every one of our listeners loves Seinfeld. And
yeah. It's
everybody's great. Got a good comedy barometer. You got to have a good comedy barometer if you're a Ranger fan, let's face it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, you were around the locker room a bit last year. I mean, what was the vibe down there? You know, we as Ranger fans, we kind of get this, like a totalitarian state kind of vibe down there. How about the players? Are the players cognitive of what they say and how they say it? Or you just basically get the standard pat answers that you get from a hockey player after every game?
I'll tell you what, things are so different now than they were in when I started and even up through the 90s. First of all, your access is completely limited by Tortorella. Totally limited. You know, it used to be the old days, you could hang out outside the locker room before the game, and you could talk to the players while they were working on their sticks or whatever they were doing. They'd come in and out of the locker room to go across the hall to get something to eat or to go ride the bike, and all those times they'd be happy to talk to you, answer a question, joke with you, BS with you. You get to know them as people. Now it's total lockup. It's like you can't go near them before the games. You have a certain amount of time after practice in locker rooms with them. And then when they answer questions in the locker room, because of the growing, unbelievably exploding number of media, everything's a press conference. Everything is, you know, any guy who's talking in the locker room is surrounded by 15 or 20 people. Now, in the old days, you'd sit in the stall next to them. I remember, you know, when I was a young kid, I was a smoker, et cetera, and Pierre LaRouche and those guys would bum cigarettes off me after the game. We'd sit in the locker room, and they'd open a beer, and they'd have a cigarette, and they'd BS with you for a half an hour. And you get to know the guys. And now, these guys I don't even think they know the beat writers' names. I honestly don't, and I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking about the guys who are there every day and travel with them. I bet you that most of the players don't know their names. And it's a totally different atmosphere. And when they talk, there's a PR guy right there with the BlackBerry typing in what they're saying.
Oh, boy.
So it's a totally different game. I'm not blaming the Rangers PR people. Everybody does it now. And I'm not blaming
you really
anybody.
Think everybody does it, though, Rick?
Well, I think
do you
a
think
lot
the
of
guys, the guy who was covering the Minnesota Wild, yeah. Do you think the PR guy is sitting there with the BlackBerry?
Yeah, maybe
I don't think
that,
so.
Maybe not that guy, but a number
you
of teams.
You know what?
Are.
Eddie, I saw that at the draft too. The PR guy standing by, whoever was talking to the, you know, whether it was Gordy Clark, Glenn Sather, or one of the draft picks, the constantly on the BlackBerry typing out everything.
It's the KGB over there.
It is. It's not just the Rangers, but yeah, it is. And I think what gets hurt is the players' relationship with the media. First of all, the players have no relationship with the media anymore. And that's really not a good thing.
I can tell you who's at fault for that.
Who's that?
I'm going to say his name.
Uh-oh. Should I duck?
John Rosasco.
No, you have killed me. No,
you have killed it for the fan. You do nothing for the Ranger fans. You do nothing for the hockey fans in the New York area. I said it. That was me, the mouth. Eddie the mouth guy. Nobody else said it. Put me on your blackball list, Johnny.
Well, you said it, but it's not John. I mean, it's not him. But it's the Garden, and let's just leave it at that. Because the same thing happened. I mean, it's worse on the Knicks side. It's worse there.
It's worse for the Knicks?
Yeah, it's worse.
Wow.
Why?
Because that's just the way it's become. You go to a Knicks practice and you sit in this little room with no windows, like a freaking POW, until they say, okay, guys, you can come out and watch the last 5 minutes of practice, and then you can talk to the guys in the gym if they'll stop and talk to you, but you can't even go in the locker room. So that's just ridiculous.
Thank God we don't like basketball.
Oh, my God. So it's just gotten, like I said, you know, and I was drawing a picture there with Pierre Larouche bumming a cigarette from me, but that's just the way it was. I mean, Mark Messier, you know, before enormous games, would still have time to chat with you out in the hallway while he was working on his stick. You know, Adam Graves, Wayne Gretzky would be watching a baseball game in the trainer's room and would invite you in to sit with them because he loved baseball. You know, it was just different, and it was not that long ago. It's just changed so dramatically, and it's not good for the players to not have a relationship with the media, especially the print media that travels with them. They have to know those people, and they don't.
Right. And what we do is, you know, we grab them before they become, like, you know, I'm not tooting our own horn, but we get their prospects through their OHL teams or their college teams and talk to them before, because we're not going to have a chance to talk to them later. And they're not going to be frank, and they're already coached as it is. These guys who play in the OHL, they've dealt with the media. So, you know,
hockey players never have said anything interesting in an interview anyway. I mean, hockey players they're full of cliches. They're very vanilla. But when you got them in the hallway before a game, or when you sat next to them in the locker room at practice, after practice, and there was only six writers there, and there was, you know, the guys were hanging out, that you'd get, it was just a totally different relationship.
Right.
And they weren't vanilla back then. They weren't vanilla when you're just talking to them. They were people. They weren't hockey players who were just always, you know, let's, you know, go to the team, and you got to go hard every shift, and, you know.
Right.
You got to work, or we have to work harder. They're not like that. When you get to know them.
We had Jerry Eskenazi of the Times on.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, back in the day with Emil Francis. And,
yeah.
I mean, they knew everything. They traveled with the team on the train, you know, it was.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
I mean,
but,
even Neil Smith, I mean, Neil Smith would tell us everything, you know, and he would tell us, that's off the record. You can't write that. But he told us everything. We knew what was going on. And that was so important to him, to us, to the history of the team, to, you know, historical. I mean, 20 years from now, they're going to say, well, what did Sather think about this guy? And you'd be like, I have no idea. I have no clue what Sather thought about that guy or what Sather thought about anything. You know, I don't know. I don't sit down and talk to Glenn Sather. And again, it's not just Glenn Sather. It's the way things are now. It's a totally different animal. Totally different.
Yeah. Now, people want to know, they're clamoring. They love us going down memory lane, but, of course, they want their questions asked, answered. What do you think about Pavel Dimitra, the Rangers possibly getting him, or Simon Gagné?
Yeah, either one of those guys. I mean, they both have their injury history. They'd both play on the first line here, no question about that. And they could probably get him pretty cheap for 1 year, right? Isn't Demetrius free, right? Am I not right about that? He's a UFA.
I am.
I think he's unrestricted, and Gagne's got 1 year left. So either way, I mean, Gagne, you'd have to get in a trade, I think, if I'm not mistaken, unless there's some kind of waiver shenanigans that could go on. But whatever it is, you'd get either one of them for 1 year. Neither one of them is going to play the whole year. But while they're here, they're going to play the first line, and they're going to help you. And I wouldn't be opposed to either one of those. And again, I don't think they're going to be taking up a spot of a Grachev or a Stepan or somebody. Those kids, if those kids make the team, they're going to play ahead of a Christensen or ahead of a Prospel, whatever. You know, ahead of a Prust even. They'll play. They're not going to be, it's not going to be, you know, Grachev's not going to play on the first line or Stepan's not going to play on the first line. So if they can get first line help, and God knows they need it, you know, I'm all for it for 1 year and for reasonable money. They can't. I'm surprised and shocked that we haven't gotten to Kovalchuk yet, but I've been so on the fence over that.
I think everybody's so Kovalchuked out. I mean, do the Rangers really have any room to sign him? And with this Mark Stahl, we haven't even talked about the Mark Stahl thing just dragging on again. How come this is not taken care of earlier? They've had a long off season.
That's the nature of that beast. That's the nature of the restricted free agency, is that it takes long. I mean, unless a guy, you know, doesn't care what he gets, it takes a long time. And because Mark Stahl has no leverage until they get to training camp. So if he really wants to be paid well, then he's going to have to wait till training camp. And he's probably going to have to hold out for a couple of days, and that's going to be it. And then they'll sign him. You know, or he has to get an offer sheet, which never happens. And then they'll match it. So that's just the nature of restricted free agency. Girardi wasn't so particular about how much money he made. He got a good contract, I thought. But he got it done. But if you want the money, which, you know, Dubinsky went through this last year, and every restricted free agent in history who's wanted to get paid, the only way to do it is to use your leverage, which is training camp. So
now,
that's why it's
Where do you stand on Kovalchuk? You think it's going to happen, or I just think the Rangers are staying pat?
Right.
You know, just that's what I believe. I think they're not going to be going out and get anything big. I don't think they have room.
No, and I think they could shift things around and get him if he would come for $8 million or something, or $8.5 million. But I don't think they're not interested. First of all, they're not interested. If they were interested, he'd be here by now. They haven't been in it. They've talked to his agent maybe once or twice, but they have not been pursuing him, and I don't think they will.
Any rumors you're hearing? People want to know. I know you cover a lot of things, not just hockey. Any rumors maybe you can throw our way? I know you're not a big rumor guy anyway.
No, I'm not. And I think the Gagne rumor is probably as good as it gets, because it's not just a rumor. And that's why, you know, when you say rumors, if it's just a rumor, I don't even want to talk about it. If there's something behind it, the thing that this, you know, Gagne, there's something behind that. Dimitri, there may be something behind that. But I don't think there's anything major going on besides those types of moves at this point.
And a lot of people talking about Frolov possibly coming. He's a guy that I don't want on this team. He seems like Jared Devpart, too.
Exactly. Haven't they done that enough, and haven't they learned from
that?
How about the Flyers signing that guy, putting Sheridan? What are they thinking?
They got so many guys on their team, I don't know. They have to get rid of some people. They keep signing people.
That's why they have to get rid of Gagne.
How about him taking $1.5 million less than he could have had last year with the Rangers? I mean, who's he getting his advice from?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it was pretty clear that he wasn't wanted by the Rangers last year. They only tendered the offer so that if somebody else signed him, they would get compensation. And they made it pretty clear that they didn't want him.
There you go.
Yeah, so I don't think that was a real offer. That was just an offer that they had to make in order to retain his rights. But I think Tortorella made it pretty clear that he wasn't in the plans at the end of last season. So, going back to rumors, I don't think that there's anything. I don't think there's anything much going on with the Frolov type guy. I can't imagine. I mean, again, who knows goes on behind their closed doors, but, you know, I can't imagine taking another flyer on a guy, on the same guy. The same guy as you're there.
Yeah.
You know, why?
They did get Olli Jokinen last year, so. They're really not, character is really not a big issue over there.
On the day they left, when they packed their bags, Tortorella made it pretty clear that character was an issue, and that character is going to be an issue, and that's why Redden is going to be on a bus to Hartford in September, and that's why Jokinen's not back, and that's why, you know, Prospo is back. Because character is an issue, and that's why, you know, they were interested in keeping Shelley. Because character is going to be an issue and has to be an issue. So, you know, I can't imagine that they take somebody who's going to be questionable and who's going to be in Tortorella's doghouse again. Why would they want to do
right.
it? Especially unless he's free. I mean, if he's free, if he comes and plays for $500,000, fine. But he's
right.
Olaf's not going to play for $500,000.
So what you're saying to me and what you're saying to Jim Schmiedeberg and the millions of people listening all over the world is that you pretty much think Wade Redden is not going to be part of this team. You think. You're not reporting.
I do.
I do,
and I've written that, and I think that it's a foregone conclusion. I'm not saying that I know that.
Right.
I'm saying that I think that it's a foregone conclusion based on Tortorella talking about changing the culture a little bit, getting rid of some of these non-character guys, having a better locker room, which is a phrase he used several times, improving the room. You know, you improve that room by subtraction. And clearly, very, very clearly, Redden did not have a good exit interview with Tortorella. So I think, you know, he's out the door. I don't think there's any question about it. And, you know, the Rangers will eat that salary, and he'll play in Hartford, or he'll retire, or whatever.
Rick, is Redden one of the guys Tortorella's talking about when he uses the term sense of entitlement?
Yes, absolutely, no question. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he used that. He had that quote. I want to say about a third of the way through the season last year, where he said, you know, that's it. We talked to Glenn, and nobody's going to be entitled to. Nobody's going to be entitled to a position anymore. Nobody's going to be getting playing time based on their contract anymore. And then, you know, very shortly after that, the first guy who got benched was Redden, and that was when he put Drury on the fourth line, and he benched Redden, and that was when they went on a little bit of a run after that too. And Redden and Drury actually played better after that. But I think clearly.
It still didn't last long enough.
No, and I think clearly Redden is the guy when he talks about entitlement, that he's not going to be getting minutes because of who he is or what he makes. And, you know, now they'll have a chance to get rid of him, and I think they will.
And, you know, Rick, I thought when Redden at the end of the season, I think his last words to the press were, I'm just going to have to come back next year and show them what I could do. I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought, well, haven't we seen enough of that?
Yeah, okay.
Can't you come back and show us that you could do something else?
That's right. You know, what took you so long? I think maybe he's auditioning for, hoping for a trade. I think that's what he'd really like.
Done.
But unfortunately, at his salary, there's no way to trade him. And they would happily trade him. You know, they would trade him for a seventh-round draft pick. Or, you know, in 2027. They would. I mean,
right around when the contract ends.
That's a fact. But nobody in their right mind is going to take him with that salary. Nobody. So, Hartford it is.
Yeah.
Go play with Brashear.
Now, you had a clip you wanted to play for...
We got one more. I hope this one works. I downloaded this on fly, so here we go.
The key to eating a black and white cookie is you want to get some black and some white in each bite. Nothing mixes better than vanilla and chocolate. And yet still somehow racial harmony eludes us. If people would always look to the cookie, all our problems would be solved.
Why, you use them race relations, it's just... fascinating. You really should do an op-ed piece for the Times.
Look to the cookie, Elaine.
Look to the cookie.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Sorry, that was a little loud at first.
No, no, and then he loses his vomit streak, right?
Right, right.
He says the black and white cookie. He got David Duke and Farrakhan.
Farrakhan, yeah.
The perfect combination.
That's awesome.
The white and black coming together.
That episode's also got the classic George line. I show up with ring dings and Pepsi. I'm the hit of the party.
That's right. Well, Rick, we appreciate you coming by, and I want to say you got to check out that Rangers report. I have to say some of the funniest people, that those boneheads that you have over there, the fans, the contributors, the bloggers, the posters, everything is just so great over there, and you guys are having fun with it, and
we
that's
do.
What it's all about.
We
I
do
mean, you know, it really is.
Well, we get a lot of traffic. We do some huge numbers, especially during the season, but we do have fun.
Yeah.
That's one thing. You got to be sure we have fun. There's no doubt about
yeah.
it. No
and,
doubt.
You know, any boneheads who listen to the show tonight, we salute you, and we once again loved having the blog father, Carp, on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a blast.
Thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, there's Rick Carpinello.
Yes. We're off the air. We're streaming. Let me bring in Mandar for a couple minutes here, and then I just lost the switchboard. I just lost the switchboard. Mandar, did you get on?
I hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost the switchboard. If anybody's holding and they can still hear us, I apologize. I lost the switchboard, and I'm not going to be able to bring you on. Try us out again next week. Sorry. I don't know what is going on with Blog Talk Radio the last couple of weeks. The switchboard's constantly, like, flipping. And did you have problems when you were doing your shows Friday night?
What did I do?
Who said what?
I'm
who
typing.
Said what to who now? Over
I was
here.
Typing.
Now I'm over there now. I was just asking if you'd had problems, if you've been having problems with the switchboard on Friday nights.
Oh, yeah, I was. It's flipping out. It refreshes. It locks up.
Right. Okay.
The wrong times. It was a nightmare. Actually, it was a nightmare 2 weeks ago. This one, you can kind of, once you get it down, right now, Jeff Diamond is giving me his address for the book.
The one that I told him, hang in there. I told him I would try and get him a copy from the publisher, and that if I could get it, I would email him and get his address.
Well, I got it now. Jeff
Fantastical.
Dime.
Fantastical.
Let me just copy.
If you want to email it to me or something, I'm sitting here.
You didn't even get it yet, though.
No, I know. I gotta email the publisher, and I keep forgetting.
Yeah, that's nice, huh?
What's that?
That's a good book.
Oh, it's great. And you gotta email me your address so I can send you a copy, Mandar.
All right.
The funny
just in the chat room.
What?
Jim, I'll just
you bragging to
him. Jim, you there?
Yeah.
I'll just send the messenger to you right now in the chat room while you're still there.
That means I gotta move. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, actually, I'll add you to my contacts here.
So, Eddie, how was the anniversary, my friend?
Oh, it was good. It was actually good. We went to this Italian restaurant called Emilio's.
Where's that?
Which is awesome. It's in Comac, actually, and it's really good. And but now the wife, what was I saying? I'm losing my train of thought. I got to get out of this fucking cabin. My wife's away now. She's in Chicago.
Oh, man, what are you guys doing?
So, me, I'm just banking it. I mean, I got nothing to do. I feel like doing shows every night so I can have something to do.
Well, have Chris come over.
Oh, fuck him. I'm in Fred Alpa's mode with him now. I don't even like consider
wow,
him.
Wow, that's extreme. I can't believe
he adds nothing. He adds nothing. I don't have anything in common with him.
You're about to spend a week or so with him, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but I have to interact with him.
The lamb. Now you got to be filming that all the time. The lamb basin's got to go crazy on that.
Well, he got the droid. You know the phone.
And yeah.
He's obsessed with it. He's like, look, this gets the time. It has the time and the weather on it.
My phone has the time, and I can stick my head out the window.
Seriously. Oh, Jim, you got to meet this guy.
And he's like, oh, and of course, you know how he is? Remember when he had that stupid Austin Powers keychain that played, yeah, baby, or the Beavis and Butthead one?
Yeah.
Like he likes things like that. He's got an app that plays stuff from Hot Tub Time Machine or some other movie. And only he does play that all the time.
Yeah, he went on a cruise. When the one of the years he went on the cruise with us, he brought a Pee Wee Herman doll with him. That Pee Wee Herman doll went over the edge and somewhere still at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Where it belongs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just had enough of him. He's not giving back. Nice guy, fuck you. Be funny. I've had enough.
Oh, man.
You got to bring something to the table.
What? 1981. How long has that been? Long time.
It's been almost 30 years.
And that was the last time you had a date? Is that what you're saying?
Ah, it's probably true. Fucking loser. So,
wow.
Yeah, so Carpenter was really good.
Yeah, it's always good to have those inside things that nobody else will talk about. So that's pretty cool.
Well, you know what I like about Carp is that, you know, as much as I love Andrew Gross too, you know, Carp, he doesn't pull any punches. You know what I mean? He says what's on his mind, and you know if it's you know good or bad. I mean, Andrew Gross, I think maybe. You know, he's getting a little more comfortable with us, and he did that last time he was on. He was kind of a little more forthcoming with us. But I think Karp just has the attitude that, you know what, I've done this a long time. I just don't give a shit, and I'm going to say what's on my mind.
Yeah, well, the thing what he said was towards the end that was the most important was that exit interview did not go well with Tortorella and Redden. And to me, that's... Looks great,
but how could it? I mean, really? I mean, you know, say what you want about Tortorella, but what could possibly have gone down in that meeting that would be positive? You know, and I just think, you know, and that's why I asked him about the sense of entitlement thing is just because I just, you know, just judging from when Redden got benched and they said, remember they said he went into Tortorella's office and they were screaming at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he wasn't happy about being benched. And then the comments at the end of the season that I just have to come back and show. I just don't think he gets it. I don't think he realizes just how bad he is.
Yeah.
It's a foregone conclusion to everybody now that he's not going to. The surprise would be if he actually stays up with the team, not if he goes down, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's still on the team because I don't have any faith in this organization right now to do the right thing.
The only thing that I think helps him not being on the team is if Tortorella doesn't, if it's kind of implied that Tortorella made the decision to send him down, Ranger fans are going to love him. I mean, I'm not talking about like the guys who listen to our show or like know what's going on, but you know, the fans that go to the game and know Redden sucks and here's the Redden suck chant and everybody hates Redden. When they see, well, Tortorella didn't put up with his bullshit 1 year and he was out of here, they sent him down.
Right.
Which will kind of erase the bitterness, I think, of not making the playoffs for Tortorella under his first full season. You know, he'll kind of give him... Because Tortorella, I don't trust anything he says either. Because he said last year everybody is going to get, you know, a play on merit, and we didn't see that at all. You know, so I don't believe anybody, but I think if it behooves Mr. Tortorella to send down, that's just an added thing. I think he'll get some cred with the Ranger fans.
Well, yeah, he'll definitely win some fans over.
I'll tell you what, though. This team isn't that much different than last year. So, you know, unless he has some sort of magic change of personality, what's to stop him from the 8 million different line combinations and him having no idea what to do? That I'm waiting for something. You know, it's going to be a big proving ground for himself, too, along with the players on the team, I think.
Yeah, you just got to hope. I mean, I don't see much difference at all in the team. I think they're going to be out. They're not going to make the playoffs, or you know, unless the Eastern Conference is worse.
You know what? Hopefully there's somebody that we don't know yet, we haven't talked about yet, that all of a sudden steps up and makes a huge contribution that you're not, you know, thinking about.
A guy has a 35-goal season that we never thought would have 35 goals.
Right. That's what it's going to take to have something different. You know, it's going to have to be more than one player stepping up and doing something unheard of that nobody was expecting before the year started.
And we can't just, you know, we're penciling in, we're getting a little too safe with Gabbert, but, I mean, he still could get injured.
Right.
And if that happens, it's all over. And last year we all predicted, I think, and we were talking about if – Henrik played, you know, 65, 70 games, and Gavrik played that same amount, the Rangers would make the playoffs. And apparently that's not enough.
Right. Apparently we need 320 goal scorers on this team, not just two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have
actually, to. Actually, no, we had three, didn't we? Did Dubinsky score 20 goals?
Yeah. Callahan had 19. He was close and possible.
Right. So three's not enough. We need four. Well, just think, Callahan scores one more goal. If he scores one more goal in the last game of the season, maybe we're not the 8.5 seed.
That's right. It's all his fault.
That's right. All right, fellas, I'm going to go eat some dinner.
Gentlemen, take care. Stay cool out there, big man.
Will do. Eddie, Friday night,
Farnett, we'll do our regular show, the little show, as I call it.
Okay.
But it's now the regular show because it's non-hockey, but it'll be fun.
Okay.
And we're going to do a half hour on that fucking recent Mel Gibson tape. That's a.
Oh man.
That's awesome. Did you hear the audio that came out today?
No, I didn't hear the one that came out today.
They played it at Howard this morning.
Great.
He's screaming at her that. She fell asleep and didn't blow him.
Yeah.
How fucking dare you? I deserve to get blown. And he's screaming and he's panting. He's like, I mean, it's so funny.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
Yeah, Radar Online released it today. I mean, he's just going nuts. How dare you? I deserve to get blown. And the whole time he's wheezing. Yeah.
Well, I heard on Larry King a lot of it last night, and I was laughing, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to hear what that beat, too.
I hope you were getting gang raped. You get gang raped by a bunch of N-words, he says.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Good times.
All right, guys. Take care.
Catch you later. Good night, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.